So welcome to this evening's edition of the Global Math Department. Tonight we will be hearing from Christy and Christy. Both Christies teach at Holy Trinity High School in Richmond Hill, Ontario. Christy McGowan has taught at all levels of high school mathematics over her 12-year career and is now particularly interested in promoting student engagement to better enhance student learning and enrich the classroom experience. She has experience with personalization, mastery learning, and flipping classrooms. She is particularly interested in improving the attitudes of students towards mathematics and the role of the teacher and students in this process. Christy Lovericks, as I said, also teaches at Holy Trinity School in Richmond Hill, Ontario. And during the past 4 years, she has been involved in many projects that have seen her teaching mathematics in creative and student-centered environments. These approaches include personalized learning, flipping classrooms, mastery learning, and project-based learning, and also gamification. So tonight, we are very glad to have Christy and Christy presenting our path to personalization with standards-based feedback. While they are presenting, feel free to post questions in the chat room window. I will be fielding those questions and making sure that they get answered at the end of their presentation. So let's hear from Christy and Christy. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the introduction. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Christy with a K.
And I'm Christy with a C.
And yes, we are the Christies. Actually, Christy with a K. Myself, I was Christy's with a C's teacher quite a few years ago. So it's been an amazing experience to work together now in the capacity of colleagues.
We've been on this journey for a few years now, and we've learned a lot. We're both really excited to be here tonight and just have the opportunity to share with you our experience with personalization, and particularly in the math classroom. We just want to preface this with a little bit of context. We feel very fortunate to teach at a school with a one-to-one laptop program where every child has a laptop, and we have access to some of the most cutting-edge technology.
So we're going to share with you how we transformed our classroom based, of course, on the resources that we have available to us. We just want you to know that throughout the presentation, where we can, we're going to give you some ideas of how to adapt the things that we've tried based on the resources that you might have available to you, because they may look different than our resources. So why did we make our changes? Why did we transform our classroom? Well, we had taught grade 10 academic math, MPM 2D, in the Ontario system. For a couple of years, and actually I taught Christy, I think it was about 10 years ago.
Oh, more than that.
Okay, we won't go there, but quite frankly, we found that both us as teachers and our students were lacking in engagement, and we really just wanted to change our classroom for the better. So we looked for ways to make our classes more student-centered rather than teacher-centered, and we wanted to give more individual attention to our students.
Right. So we knew we were going to be making some big changes, and we wanted to lay the foundation and start the year off on the right foot with our students. So we decided to teach them deliberately about growth and fixed mindset. So we just wanted to change some of the language in our classroom to create a more positive learning environment, given all of the changes that we were about to make. What we really wanted them to do, because they're so used to a very teacher-centered classroom, is make them a little bit more open to those changes. Specifically because they've been taught the same way for essentially their entire career so far. So one of the things that we did was gave them kind of a self-assessment as to what mindset they may have been, and then we kind of led a class discussion very specifically about the types of mindsets. And then you'll see just a couple of posters. The one in the bottom left we actually have in our classroom, just to give us a central point to refer to on an ongoing basis, making sure that the students are using the right language.
So we started our year off a little smaller than some of the changes that we are going to mention to you throughout the presentation. We started with linear systems, and we made our own rendition of a typical flipped classroom. So what remained the same was students watching the videos at home. By the way, any videos that we referenced that were created for our students were made by us. We felt that it was important to be more in control of what information we were giving our students. Christy is going to share with you an example of what a note looked like that students would see when they were watching one of our videos. So what students were able to do, we didn't want them to feel like they were alone in their learning when they were watching the videos at home. So we had a question column along the side. And what that allowed students to do was write any questions down or concerns they had during the video, so that when they came into class next day, we would sit them in small groups and they would get those questions answered. They would help each other out. It would also give us a chance as the teacher to circulate and see where the big concerns were, and that would give us an indication of the topics that we needed to spend a little bit more time on. You'll see also at the bottom of the note that students had or were requested to make a thinking question. We wanted to push students a little bit out of their comfort zone and talk about some things they were wondering about. We also would have some discussions surrounding those questions. We were always amazed at a lot of the questions that our students came up with. Then after these questions were answered, students would work on homework, and it gave Christy and I a chance to circulate and work one-on-one with students that were struggling. So we realized, although we were teaching in maybe a better model than a traditional classroom, we weren't giving personal feedback to our students. And what we thought was maybe personalization really was individualization. So you can see from this chart here, we actually took from Twitter, for us just gave us a little bit more information as to what we were doing and where we wanted to be. So you'll see just the circled one at the bottom talks about personalization and how it's teachers developing the capacity to create independent learners who set goals, monitor progress, and reflect on their learning. And I think that's the piece we were kind of missing. So Christy's just going to
Yeah, so what we did once we sort of decided that we wanted to make a more personalized classroom rather than an individualized one, we decided to attack our second unit differently. So what we did was we made it more personalized, but we wanted to make a better attempt at giving our students useful feedback. I think as teachers, we're always giving our students feedback, but we wanted to give them this feedback in a more useful way.
So I'm just noticing a question, so I can address this just before we move on. The question column, did it work well? We just liked giving the students the ability to ask specific questions while they were watching the video at home. We just felt it gave them just a time, like an important time in their learning to ask the questions. So when they came into class, they could have those questions answered. There wasn't any really negative pushback from students.
No, I think it actually sort of eliminated the negative feedback. We were a little concerned at first that just sort of giving the students learning to do at home. So we felt this was a way for us to allow students who might have had a question throughout the video to record that. And then when they got to school in their group of four or five, there was usually somebody who would be able to address that question. And if a peer wasn't able to answer, then Christy and I would do it as their teacher. So back to unit two, this is our algebra unit. So I think we were just saying that we wanted to make it more personalized, but we also wanted to do a better job with the feedback we were giving our kids.
So what we actually did is we wanted to make sure that our students had really clearly defined learning goals. And specifically in Ontario, we're required to assess students not just in terms of a product, so a test or a project or any sort of concrete assessment, but we also need to assess and evaluate in terms of a conversation and observation. So we realized while we were reading through our curriculum, the wording was actually really important. So if you actually look at what we identified as a product, it looks like wording such as students are able to verify through investigation or anything like that where the students are actually doing something. And then what we identified as a conversation was something where the students are asked to describe or compare. So we actually just took it straight from the curriculum and then created sort of topic lists based on that. And Christy's going to talk about that.
Yeah, I think the reason the topic lists were important to us, we kind of felt we were almost over assessing everything. And we realized that if you really read the curriculum carefully, at least the Ontario curriculum, not everything should be assessed or evaluated in a test or a quiz format. Some things really do lend themselves better to just having a sort of math conversation with your student. So what you should see next is a more detailed topic sheet. You can see topic three there, factoring complex trinomials. And what we did for each unit, we would display these topic sheets throughout the classroom. So we thought it was important for students to always have a visual while they were in the classroom working, what the learning goals were and what they were aiming to learn by the end of the unit. We also shared these topics with our students online. And again, if you don't have that luxury of having that online resource available to you or your students, we do recommend printing them, putting them up in your classroom, and even just giving the students a copy on paper. You'll notice on the topic sheets, each topic has a particular example, a worked example, so students can go up to the paper and see the worked example if they're having trouble understanding that topic. And the most important piece for us was what you see at the bottom there, where it says probably evaluated by a product or by a conversation. And we really thought it was important to be transparent with the students and give them a sense of how they were going to be evaluated on that particular topic, so what they should be prepared for.
So we actually made these topic lists, but we needed to decide how we were going to teach them. I just for your reference, I've shared with you our Unit 2 topic list, just so you have an idea of A, the magnitude of the topics that were covered, but also the structure of those sheets. From the topic lists, what we did is decided how we were going to teach the unit. So for this particular unit, we created a passport to help students navigate through the topics, just because of the magnitude of them. And we really wanted them to work through them at their own pace, creating multiple entry points. We wanted to give them kind of a fun way to keep track of their progress as they were going through the unit. You'll notice, if you actually take a look at the passport, they're kind of divided into four quadrants, we called them, exponent and simplifying expressions, just to break them up a little bit and give students and multiple entry points in a very large unit and give them kind of ownership and control over their learning. So for each of those topics, the student had to watch a video, and as Christy with a K mentioned, we made all the videos ourselves. Once they watched the video, they started to work on the worksheet to practice their skills. And once they felt they were ready and they had gotten some feedback on that worksheet from us, we gave them a formative just on paper, about one question long for each of those topics, just to show us and show themselves that they understood the topic and had mastered it. Once they had done all three of those for a topic, they received a stamp in their passport from one of us. There were times where students had to revisit formatives. They hadn't mastered it, so we had multiple versions of those formatives where students could redo those in order to gain that mastery there.
And I think if you're having trouble visualizing this, as I was before this sort of came to life, I think as you can imagine in a personalized classroom, every student, and I mean the whole purpose of this is to be personalized. So every student is going to go through this at a different pace. They're going to possibly start with a different topic. They're going to have to revisit things that their friend is not going to have to. So it really looks different for every student. So we wanted to just give you an opportunity to show how our classroom runs with this type of unit. So Christy's going to share that link with you. I think she just did. So please feel free to open it up. It's pretty short, but it just gives you an idea of how all these pieces work together without actually being in our classroom. So just some things you might see while you're watching the video. What you can see, that's Christy with a K, that's me, circulating throughout the classroom and giving students one-on-one attention. You'll see some students are working individually, really quietly, while other students are working together. Some students have their laptops open, other students are working on paper. You'll also see me at one point, if you've opened the video, marking a worksheet and giving that student really quick feedback and giving him some verbal feedback as well, which I think is an important piece. You might notice at the back, once you get to the end of the video, that students are picking up worksheets and quizzes again because they're really going through this at their own pace and then bringing it back to their desk and working on it. So I think the one thing we really wanted to drive home here is that it really isn't a traditional classroom. At the very least, we just wanted you to have an idea that very rarely were we centered at the front of the room teaching or sitting at our desk. We were kind of just always walking around and addressing individual students.
So hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at what our classroom looks like on a day-to-day. But after some work on these units, we realized how important it was to start giving some of that information to our parents. We're fortunate to have parents that are really invested in their child's education, and we thought it was a really important opportunity to start the conversation at home between the child and their parent about their progress. You'll notice the topics on the right-hand side there, that's actually a screenshot of what we would send home. So just a worksheet formative for each of the topic and what the students had completed and what they hadn't. The yellow just means that they needed to go back and maybe fix a couple of things or revisit a formative if they hadn't done as well as we had hoped. We just wanted to make sure the parents were aware of this, but it was also important for us to start the conversation. And just to kind of give you a little bit of information, we also kind of set a pace for the students as to where they should be at a given time. So when we did send that email home, it might say you need to have at least 14 or 10 topics done. And if they're not, then you need to catch up a little bit at home.
Alternatively to this email, so you can see on the right there, there's a snapshot of what a typical spreadsheet entry would look like. It's obviously more colorful in a spreadsheet, but again, if you don't have that technology, this could easily be done on paper. In fact, that's how Christy and I originally sort of tracked this for ourselves, because sometimes registering the information in Google Spreadsheets takes a little while to load. So we did often do it on paper first. So you could easily give that paper to students and have them take it home and share with their parents. We really just wanted to make the milestones more achievable for kids and really give them a sense of what they were achieving. I think students like to feel like they're progressing through something, and they really like that feedback from their teacher. So now that we kind of mastered personalizing the pace, that was sort of our first big idea. Our next task, again, we kept coming back to making the feedback more personalized and more meaningful for the students.
So I kind of came across Ed Hitchcock in some work with a professional development community called Cohort 21. He's a physics teacher, but he did a lot of work with standards-based grading and kind of gave us what we had been looking for. So you'll see right here on your screen an example from Ed's physics test. So traditionally, when we mark a test, and we still do, you'll notice on the top row there, you'll see the question number. So for example, question one, if a student was able to recognize balance forces, but not really complete their free body diagrams, they maybe got a 3 out of 4 on the question. And you might go ahead and do that for every question and then total it at the end. So at the end, you might give them some feedback. You got 72%. Go over the questions that you got wrong. So what Ed Hitchcock did instead was take a look horizontally. So instead of vertically at each question, we're looking at the topics that the student may or may not understand. So for example, this student, if you were looking at the chart, they really understand recognizing balanced forces, but if I go a few rows down, they really don't understand advanced force problems. So it really kind of gives you a lot more information in terms of what the student does know and what they don't know. And we really wanted to make sure that we could give students this information.
Yeah, I think we realized too, as much as we really wanted students to take the focus off of marks, but we realized if we wanted them to do that, then we needed to take our focus away from the marks. So this was a way for us to really address what our ultimate goal is, which is that students are learning and that they're addressing their learning challenges, and they are figuring out what it is they need to work on, and we're specifically giving them feedback on that. So as much as we enjoyed this example from Ed Hitchcock, we decided that we weren't really ready to use his idea of standards-based grading, so to actually give our students a mark. The most important piece we kept coming back to was the feedback. We wanted students to really care about their learning and really care about the feedback we were giving them. So relating back to the topic list that we previously showed you, we made formative quizzes, as you can see here, that relate to those topics. So again, instead of just marking a quiz and giving it back to them, you got 3 out of 5 on the quiz, we actually broke down each question. So for example, question 1A covers topic 2, and it covers specifically common factoring and finding the GCF, the graded common factor. The black part just means that particular skill wasn't covered in that question. And what we wanted this chart for was really to give students specific information about what parts they were understanding and what parts they needed to spend more time on. So again, we really were trying to learn from sort of our previous mistakes and give our students more meaningful feedback. So we're going to talk a little bit more about how we addressed this in our first trade unit, which was our, I think, our fifth unit.
So just to give you a little bit of information, we realized that in previous units or topics, specifically the algebra-based ones, they were all kind of separated. Every topic was separate, was taught separately, and was assessed separately, and we realized that that wasn't necessarily possible in a trig unit. So we really wanted to make sure we were teaching them together, but giving them the information that they wanted from the topic list. So we designed the lessons, and at the bottom of each lesson, you can see on your screen here, that we actually put what topics were covered. So this one, similar triangles, covered how to communicate similar triangles, making statements of similarity, and using proportions to actually solve the triangles. So we wanted them to be very clear as to what they knew or didn't know. So next thing we did was use this information and put it onto Google site, and we're actually going to show that to you in a minute.
Okay, so there were things we really liked about our previous units. So we liked the idea of the practice through worksheets. We liked the idea of formatives that related to topics. We liked the idea of tracking student progress. So we kept all of those parts. But the part that we really wanted to do a better job on was not only just giving the feedback. So we found, okay, we did this feedback, we give them the feedback, but then we're not really doing anything with it. So as you can see here, you see a trig quiz with some two triangle problems, and we've just separated the chart for you there on the right hand side. And this one's actually filled in just to give you a sense. We would put a check mark if they got it, an X if they didn't, and we would give a little bit of feedback as to what it was they needed to work on. And instead of just handing back the quiz and saying, okay, you don't get these topics, you need to practice, we actually made a support system for this unit that we called, we couldn't think of a better name, so we called it Math 911. And it was basically a support system for students to go to for specific reference to topics that they needed extra support with. So Christy's just going to share with you our Google site, and we'd love for you just to take a look as to how that looks, because it really housed all of our information, our lessons, and the Math 911 is there. So just take a minute to venture through. I think Christy's just going to mention some of the things that you might see when you're there.
So if you go ahead and click on that link I just shared, so you might see on the homepage, just down the left-hand side there, you'll see all of the lessons. And if you click on one of those, you'll see the same topic buttons. If you scroll down all the way to the bottom in that lesson, sorry, I'll just share the link again. you'll see all the way at the bottom on one of those lesson pages, the Math 911 all along the right-hand side of the home screen. So just while you're looking through, just to give you a little bit of information as to how the unit was run. So as we said before, the lessons at the very bottom had those topics, so the students knew what was covered, and the lessons were taught a little bit more traditionally. We felt that was important. Whether that was us at the front of the room or whether it was a flipped classroom, kind of depending on the situation of that given week.
I think what we realized there was that the unit we shared with you before, which was unit two, was very skill-based. So it was common factoring, trinomial factoring. So it was very easy to sort of separate into videos and topics, but we realized in trig it was really difficult to keep those topics separate. So we felt it was important to do something a little differently, hence the more sort of traditional approach to teaching some of the lessons.
Yep. So as the student is working through the unit, they participate in the lesson, and then the next day when they came in, they would write a quiz from the last class that covered those same topics. Once they had completed the quiz, we gave them their standard-based feedback, so they knew exactly what they knew and didn't know. And then what we did is we gave them back their quizzes, and they may or may not have had to go back to their Math 911 site, depending on what topics they had to
quote unquote rehabilitate, depending on their skills there. And they needed, when they went to the Mass 911 website, if you've played around there a little bit, we've asked them to watch a video and do some practice. And well, once they felt that they had kind of built those skills back up, we asked them to revisit that quiz with those skills on them. And they could revisit that quiz essentially as many times as they needed to. Thankfully, trig questions are pretty easy to come up with. So if a kid needed to do 17 formatives for one quiz topic, they could. One thing just to note is the videos, we were actually able to track their watching through Edpuzzle, which is a really great site, just to see who's actually watching the videos and how much of the video they've actually watched.
I think too, just to notice here, even though, so we would still give our students sort of benchmarks or milestones, so they would know that they should watch this lesson by this day. So there was still, there was a little bit of pacing there that students could individualize based on the support that they needed to receive, but we really did try to keep that personalized for each student. So if one student came in and really was struggling with a lesson from the night before, they could take that time at the beginning of the class and work through their Math 911 support. So again, I think even if you don't have that technology available to you, one thing we really try to do in our math department is sort of team teach or have sections offered at the same time. So what you could do instead, if you don't have videos, if you're, you know, if you don't have that Math 911 option, you could have one of the teachers sort of do a seminar on a couple areas that students were finding difficulty with, and then you might have another teacher walking around supporting the other students and sort of watching over them. So there are ways you can do this differently without actually needing access to those videos.
Christy, there's a couple questions in the chat window. Ruth and Jackie asked them, if you scroll back up a little bit.
Okay.
Ruth said, when do you give feedback or evaluate the application thinking, or excuse me, knowledge, thinking, communication, and application categories needed in Ontario?
So I think we address those throughout. I mean, I guess we don't as formally mention those on the topic list. We more focus on the products, observations, and conversations. But we do make reference to them when we do give them feedback. This is an example of critical thinking. This is an example of something that you need to communicate. And I think on the formative quizzes, we mention when we give the quizzes back to them, this is a great application question. And what we realized, we used to separate our tests based on so we used to have a communication section, we used to have a knowledge section, we used to have an application question, or section, sorry. And now what we do is we really realized through this idea of topic lists that every topic sort of lends itself sometimes to all four categories. So we really tried on our tests to keep the questions similar to those that we did in the topic list or on our quizzes, but make sure that we broke down each question into, so there might be one communication mark, one knowledge mark, two applications, for example.
Okay, thank you. And Jackie had a question. I think you kind of answered it as you were describing the 911 process, but you know, she asked, what if students come to you below grade level? How do you address their needs? Say, working on integer operations while in a higher course, do you address those skills that they're weak on within that course, or how do you do something like that?
Okay, so because the course is personalized and we are able to kind of sit with those students, we are really able to identify them very, very early on. We know our kids very, very well, so you know exactly who you're needing to sit beside or give or find extra resources for very, very quickly. I don't know if you have anything else.
Yeah, and I think because we're constantly giving feedback, almost on day one, you're sort of figuring out who those students are right away, and it gives you a chance to intervene really early. I also think the way we've structured the resources, there's a lot of things online, so students can be working, you know, maybe in class they're working with us on the actual core course content, but at home we might give them some links to Khan Academy, we might give them some extra support resources. You'll notice on the Google site, if you go back to that link, there was a prerequisite skill tab, for example, so that would address things that students should have known from a previous course.
So again, we really try to layer all of our resources with extra practice so we can send students to the appropriate resources.
I'm just noticing another question about students who are ahead as well. Kind of similarly, because they are able to work at their own pace, I've had students within the first couple of days finish everything, hand me everything, and tell me they're done a unit, which is awesome because it gives them the opportunity to do that. But it does also give us opportunities to enrich that experience for them. So in the past, we've given them math contest preparation. We've also given them, there's a couple of books called Problems, Problems, Problems. We've done a few of those as well. So just giving them more of an enriched experience.
We also, in previous courses in our grade 9 course, which is run very similar to this, we actually have sort of a test deadline where students have to write the test by a certain date. If they're ready before that, they can write the test date before that. It gets a little tricky with sort of the physical setup of the classroom, but sometimes we've had students write in the hall, other students are continuing to work through the unit. And then when that student has done the test, we have a portfolio that they can work on. So there are ways to, I think, to address both the weaker student and the students who are advanced. Okay, so I'm just trying to find out where we were in our presentation there. So I think we were talking about tracking.
Yeah,
so we were just sort of connecting the fact that we were running our trig unit and our algebra unit in a similar fashion, but yet there were differences. So differences in the fact that we had done lessons, and then of course we created this Google site. But the one thing that we really wanted to remain at the center of everything was the importance of this feedback. So you'll notice here you see a similar spreadsheet as before. It's set up a little differently. This time it's set up by lesson because that's how we structured the Google site. And you'll notice that there's like a feedback column where in that feedback column we can say, okay, they got most of that lesson, but I'm really thinking you're still struggling a little bit with topic 3, for example. So you'll notice to the right on the spreadsheet, each student had sort of a progress one that you see on the left, and then on the right is their Math 911 progress. We felt it was important not only for students to track how they were going through the actual material, but how they were actually registering the feedback that we gave them. So, okay, I've told you that you need to work on topic 3. What are you now going to do about that? So we give them the resources, and we really wanted to make sure that students were using that Math 911 support, and it's always an interesting conversation for parents to see that, you know, we've given them this information, but they haven't taken those opportunities. So I think it was a really good conversation piece again for parents and their kids.
So throughout the unit, students were receiving these charts on all of their formative work, all of their quizzes, and all of their lessons were divided with the topics on them. So we felt it was really important to actually give them that piece on their test, especially if they were using it. We created one for the test, and you'll see it here, with all of the topics down the left-hand side, very similar to Ed Hitchcock's on his physics test. Question 1 covered both topics 1, 4, and 9. Having this on the test kind of gave us a few opportunities. What it did is when we handed back the test, we didn't actually give them their test back first. We gave them just their feedback chart with the feedback that we had written on there. And we actually had them predict their marks based on that feedback. And most of them were pretty close because they had been using the feedback the entire unit. And then we gave them back their tests, and the feedback charts were really interesting. We had them reflect on their feedback and take a look at what they knew and what they didn't know. And we felt that especially was really important for their final exam preparation. So when they looked at their final chart, had all of those topics that they didn't understand it during the unit, did they now understand them on the test? So making the connection between, okay, maybe I didn't understand topic 3 throughout the unit, and maybe that's why I didn't do well on topic 3 in our test.
I think someone actually referenced, there was a question about whether or not we had students
give the feedback themselves.
Give their feedback themselves. So I just wanted to address that based on Christy was saying, if you go back to that slide. So we did have them do that reflection, but I think going forward, when we teach the course again, I would have that reflection piece sort of layered throughout, because I think it's up to us to sort of help them reflect on how they're navigating through. I mean, I think what we realize is a lot of students are going through this type of non-traditional learning for the first time, and I think the reflection piece is really important for them to see how they're growing as a learner.
Another note, it was really helpful for them when they were studying for their exam, because they were able to focus their efforts when they were studying on the topics that they may have struggled with when they were studying for their test.
So we've talked, I don't know if we should see if there's, are there any more
no.
questions? Okay. So we've talked a lot, I think we've talked mostly about feedback, in particular giving our students feedback on their learning and areas that they can improve on. So obviously as teachers, we knew it was really important to ask our students, how were we doing? Were they enjoying the changes we were making? Were their attitudes changing? Were they learning any better? So we sent out a survey a few times throughout the year, and we sort of, we shared a couple of slides with you just to give you a sense of the results. I think one of the more interesting findings was we asked the students what their favorite unit was. So we discussed with you our flipped unit. We discussed with you our personalized passport for Unit 2. We also discussed Unit 5, which was our Google site. There were obviously two other units in there, Unit 3 and 4, which are quadratics units. Those we did a little kind of mishmash of everything. We did some activity-based. We did some video learning. We did some traditional learning. And what we found when we asked students what their favorite unit was, really the results were all across the board. So I think what we learned from that was variety is really key here. And I think we learned that there are so many different learning styles and learning preferences in our students. So the fact that we were using a lot of variety in our teaching, I think made us feel good about the fact that we were at least reaching each learner once throughout the year. You'll notice the big question we asked them is, if you just go back to that slide, sorry. Why they chose their favorite unit. What we really found encouraging was 47% of them said it improved their understanding, which of course was obviously one of our ultimate goals. You'll also see in there a popular answer was that they always knew what they had to do, so there was a little bit of structure, improving confidence, and made class more enjoyable. The next thing that we wanted to share with you was there was of course a lot of learning tools available to our students. So there was the math 911. There was, of course, extra help, which we give after school. There's the written feedback we gave them on the charts that we shared with you. There's their marked work, verbal conversations or communication that we have with students. And then, of course, the topic charts. We were a little disheartened, but I guess not so surprised to see that students really still look at their marked work as sort of their indicator of, you know, if they've really learned something. But we were encouraged to see that 50% of our kids said they really enjoyed the written feedback. And the Math 9-1 was another big one. So I think it speaks to the fact that every learner is different. So everyone's going to choose a different tool that resonates with them. And again, I think what really drove us to make all of these changes, if we think about what was at the center, was just changing our students to more of a growth mindset and really preparing them to learn more independently. When you think about a traditional classroom, they really are reliant on the teacher. And I think through the year, we were really just trying to teach them to be a little more independent and learn to recognize when they need support and to advocate for themselves. And I think we can agree that those are skills that students are really going to need in their future.
So we really enjoy teaching this way. We just want to share our next steps, actually starting on Monday. We're looking to gamify these units just to make them a little bit more fun. We just wanted a better way for the students to track their own progress and have an up-to-date electronic record of what I as a teacher can see and what they have actually completed.
So we're just gamifying the unit, giving the electronic badges, and we're actually going to put them on a Google site, the same Google site that you took a look at, actually, and have students with their own page and their own individual progress with their badges. So you can see here this example of what we're creating. So topic one, communicating similar triangles. This particular student, just me because I'm testing it out, completed 86% of that, so they achieved their badge. So we're just trying to work out the logistics of that and the technology behind it as well. So like we kind of said in the beginning, we're really fortunate to have access to all of this technology and a one-to-one program, but personalization can work without it. For us, it was more about changing the culture in the classroom and getting us as teachers in and around with the students, helping them one-on-one, and to get them more positive about math. I think sometimes they can come into a classroom with a little bit of baggage from previous years, and I think this kind of teaching gives us that opportunity to sit with them one-on-one.
And I think just going, if we stay on the gamification slide there, I think, again, even if you don't have access to the technology and the ability to gamify the learning process, we found students equally loved getting a sticker or getting a stamp when they achieved a milestone. I think one of the things we really realized that we hadn't been doing before in our more traditional classroom was really breaking down the learning process and learning goals into more manageable steps for students and just having that sense of accomplishment. So, yay, you got topic one and here's your badge or here's your stamp or here's your sticker. So it doesn't have to be done electronically. I think it's just that emphasis on the fact that you've achieved a small milestone and you're on your way to achieving the learning goals of the unit. So I think it's important to address, because obviously we know we are very fortunate to work in a school that has a lot of technology. So we just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the adaptations or sort of revisit some of the ones that we've mentioned earlier in the presentation. I think one option would be to have students, multiple students work from the same computer. So you might have a few students in your classroom that have a computer. You might have a set of computers in the library. I think a lot of schools now are using a BYOD program, so bring your own device, where of course they could access the videos that we put on the Google site or Google Drive. Something else we mentioned that I think is really great if you can get the support from your administration is to really try to team teach. So we really, our department is amazing. We work really well together. We play off each other's strengths, and we have a really great department head who's really supportive of us and all of the things that we are trying to do. And one of the things that he worked to have set up for us was that we could teach courses at the same time. So for example, I'm teaching grade 9 with a co-teacher, and sometimes when we come in, we might say there's a lot of students struggling with a particular topic, and so she might take those students and do a little seminar with them, and then I can sort of work with the rest of the students and circulate and see how they're doing. So it's all about sort of using each other as resources, and even if you don't have those videos, you can do small seminars in the classroom, or even just displaying the topic list is a huge resource as well.
Yeah, I think the topic list is a really good start, and I think it's a really important piece for the students to have that information. There's just a question about the technology
and, oh, sure.
And how to set up the Google Pages.
Okay, so just, sorry, one other thing I just wanted to mention is just the thing I really found that was great about this type of learning or this type of classroom was I think a lot of students really have trouble sitting in one spot for an hour or an hour and 20 minutes, however long your lessons are. And I think something you could do, and if you don't have the technology, is set up little stations in your classroom. Have a station where there's sort of like a math 911 support. Have a station where there's a seminar. Maybe there's a student who can help some of their peers with a problem. Have a station where you have the topic list set up and kids can move their chairs over there and work on problems over there. So it's all about just using the classroom in different ways to get students up and moving and just doing different things so they're not just doing the same thing for an hour and 20 minutes.
And I think the important piece is to break down the unit into smaller components and have the students feel a sense of accomplishment when they've mastered something. I think giving them a stamp on a piece of paper was, although silly for a grade 10, I think a lot of them appreciated it and kept coming up to us to get those stamps. So for us, it wasn't necessarily about the flashy technology or the badges or anything like that. It was breaking it down and giving students multiple pathways to get through their learning and giving them those milestone accomplishments along the way. In terms of Google Pages, I mean, I think I did most of the setup for this. And it was mostly just trial and error. I guess I'm pretty resourceful in terms of finding resources on YouTube to help me build these for myself. We are also lucky that we have a school network. I'm not sure, in terms of other schools, what their setup is, but we have the ability to email our students, which I think is a huge help.
Yeah, I think the key with the Google site was just having really a central spot for all of your resources. It's actually a pretty user-friendly site. Christy did a lot of the design, but actually the hardest thing was if you clicked on that link was the sound bite for the Math 911, the siren. So just seeing if there's any more questions, but just sort of to close, we wanted to just really emphasize that we wanted to change our classroom structure and give students an opportunity to learn in a more enjoyable and a more effective way. And it really was less about the technology and just more about their learning.
Yeah, we know there's a lot of information. We spent a lot of time, actually an entire summer, developing the course. And it's been multiple years now that we've kind of gone through this process. And you're kind of seeing the aftermath of a whole bunch of arguments and and a lot of work.
Constructive arguments.
But we hope you found at least maybe something that you could start using or take away or maybe think about. We're happy to answer any of the questions that you have, so feel free to ask them now. But if you do think of anything once you've left here, reach out to us. We're both on Twitter, or send us an email. We're happy to answer them at any time. We're just really excited about this.
Okay, so someone's asking, are you using Google Classrooms or just Google Docs? We do use Google Classroom. We did, for example, an assignment in Unit 2 that was more of a personalized assignment. Students had a choice between making a Kahoot quiz and with a reflection piece or making an instructional video. And we do a lot of our pieces that they turn in through Google Classroom. But a lot of our, students still prefer to do math on paper. So we found it was more useful to have the worksheets on paper and the quizzes on paper right in the classroom. And then we could give that feedback right away to them.
Do you have a blog somewhere about your growth with this? I have a blog that I haven't updated in a while, actually part of Cohort 21, with just a couple of things on there and a little bit of our work with the personalized approach. I just need to write more.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time presenting and talking to other people who have done this, and just we're still really learning a lot. And as you can see, as we went through the year, like we would decide like a week before we started a unit. Okay, well that worked, this didn't work, how are we going to make this better for the next unit? And we've sort of really been developing this over the last few years.
Do you have any other tests or activities as a whole class, or is it mostly people working on their own?
That's a really interesting question. One of the things we found when we got feedback after our initial unit one, if you remember way back at the beginning of the hour, we talked about the flipped classroom. And we said that, or our students remarked that they really missed the sort of class discussion, and they didn't mind that they were watching the video at home, but they really missed that hearing their peers' questions. So that's why we put in that question column, and we really wanted to have that discussion piece at the beginning. So I think it's a great question, because I think it can be a little isolating for some students. So we really do try to bring them back together sometimes and help support each other. A lot of times they'll say, you know what, this student is really great at doing this, so I want you to go and talk to him or her about this, and really try to get them talking to each other more so that there is still that cooperation piece.
And I think those thinking questions really in our unit one were really good for kind of talking about math and bringing us all together. And I don't know if you mentioned our third unit was a little more activity based, where we really tried to do a lot more real life problems in terms of quadratics, just to give them some context for the work that they were doing. And we felt that that kind of brought our class together, getting them up and moving together in a different unit with different structure and less time kind of isolated on their own. And I think it's important to note that we didn't teach this way every single unit. We really tried to mix it up, and every learner learns differently, and we wanted to make sure that we were kind of catering to all of those needs at some point during the year.
And another piece I would just say, just as I'm reflecting upon this, is I really felt the first year that we tried this, it was the year that my report card comments were the easiest to write. In other words, I really felt that by, you know, a lot of times you get to the fall, you've got to write a report card, and you really, you haven't interacted a lot with your students, you're standing at the front of the room a lot, you're not really aware of what they know, what their challenges are. And I think this sort of structure, the conversations, the constant feedback, the constant dialogue that's happening between peer-to-peer, peer-to-teacher, I think it's a really great way to get to know your students really quickly, and gives you a chance to really get to know them as a learner. And there's just so much information you can share with them and their parents. And I think it just opens that dialogue to really involve both students and parents a lot more in the learning process than ever before.
I'm not sure if there are any other questions out there.
I didn't see any other ones. I think you did get them all. Thank you to both of you for such a wonderful session. This has given me a lot of ideas to think about, and it seems like if you were going to do all the changes that you suggested and create all those units, you would definitely need time over the summer to work on that. There was so much that was involved in that, and you must be very fortunate to have each other to work with in that setting.
Yes, we are, and that's the thing I would say. Like, I think we've really learned as a department as well, just you really figure out what people's strengths are, and I think it's really important to recognize those, because it's amazing what you can get done more quickly when it's something you're really passionate about. Like, Christy's really passionate about the tech piece, so I think it's just important to sort of honor those strengths and really, really use them to your advantage.
Super. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we look forward to chatting with people more after the webinar.
Great. I'm going to stop the recording right now. Just so you know, the recording will be posted, as I said, on the Global Math Department website. I think it's usually within 24 hours. And everybody that attended and anybody that registered will get an automatic email sent to them with a link to the recording.
So thank you. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
So at this point,